Heavenly Father, we thank you for Holly, and we praise you that you have put something special in her that she has to share with each of us. I pray your blessing upon her. I pray your protection over her. And I just pray your Holy Spirit to be present so that as she shares with us, Lord, you will be impacting her as well. So help us to listen, Lord, to her and the message that you have given her. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Welcome.
Hello. Right. I might need to make this a little bit taller, which I don't often have to do, I have to say. As Sam mentioned, I'm usually worship leading. And the amount of times the tech team set the singing mic up here, I usually have to make it smaller, but I will make this a little bit higher. So, if we could have the PowerPoint on the thing. So, as it says, this month's theme is I Am Hidden. And as I mentioned earlier, we're going to be thinking about that being hidden in Christ means that we need to give our whole selves to God. And when I saw that we were singing Love Came Down, I thought we were singing a different Love Came Down. One that they've obviously updated the song since I was a youth because it was a different song I knew. But it was all about that thing about being forever yours really fits with what I feel that God has asked me to share tonight. But we're going to be looking at four verses from Colossians, and Amy is going to come up and read these for us.
Since then you have raised with Christ, set your hearts on things above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. For you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory.
Thank you. Okay, so we're going to be thinking about being hidden in Christ. And being hidden might sound like a bit of an odd thing. I think often when I think of being hidden anyway, we often think of like things being hidden away and things kept from us. But actually, the context we're going to think about being hidden in God, being hidden in Christ, is actually something really good. The verse 3 says, "For you have died," and that's talking about when we become Christians, the part of us that didn't know God, that dies. We don't have to deal with that anymore because we've got God. And our life is now hidden with Christ in God. So we are hidden in Christ. So I grew up in a Christian family, and my parents were the ones who sort of, the reason we became Christians, I think, for me and Honor and Ethan. And it was my mum and dad who prayed the sort of becoming a Christian prayer with me. And I was about 3 or 4 years old, and the words they used were the words, inviting Jesus to come and live in your heart. And in fact, when Ethan prayed this prayer, little cute story for you here, Ethan was 3, and my mum prayed this prayer with Ethan. So they prayed together, said, "Will Jesus come and live in my heart? We're inviting Jesus into my heart." And the next morning when Ethan woke up, he said, "Is he still in there?" And he actually said, "Can you get out, please?" Because he thought Jesus was going to be trapped in his heart forever. But Jesus is still in his heart. But he's not only in Ethan's heart and none of ours. But of course, yeah. So that's a little cute story for you. But that's a little bit of what we want to be thinking tonight. Inviting God into our hearts and into our lives and into our circumstances. So I've been trying to find a picture or a video clip or something to try and show you what my experience of being hidden in Christ has been like. I didn't really find anything that good. This picture is sort of the best that I could get. And it looks a bit weird. It's a bit of a blob, isn't it? The idea is there's a person in the middle. So that's like us. And the blue figure is God. But if you just sort of go with it a bit, that is what to me it feels like to be hidden in God. It's like I'm completely covered in him. It's a bit like I'm absorbed into him, actually. It sounds really weird, but I'm a bit of a person of weird metaphors. His love completely covers me, and it's like I have a layer of protection over me. And that doesn't mean that nothing bad is ever going to happen, but it means that I've always got that security of knowing that he is always there, and my life is completely in his, no matter what. And he becomes my life. So it's that giving of myself to him and accepting him as well. So being hidden in Christ means stepping into the truth of who God says we are, that we are rooted in his love, that we are free, we are made new, all the things that we've been looking at the point over the last few months. Everything we need is in him. And earlier we were singing that song that I know is a favourite for a lot of us, the I Am Who You Say I Am song. And we declare those words, don't we? I'm a child of God. Yes, I am. And that's something we don't dismumble. We can't, because it's really exciting. We are children of God. And being hidden in Christ is all about stepping into that and living like it's true, because it is true. So, how do we do that? Well, next slide, please. So, verses 1 and 2 say, since then, you have been raised with Christ. Set your hearts on things above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. Sounds pretty easy, doesn't it? No. So, being hidden in Christ, it'd be amazing that when we became Christians, we just could do it and we were good at it. But that's not the point. The point is that God keeps working in us and with us, and we journey through it with him, and it's an ongoing thing. So being hidden in Christ requires our participation. The things we set our hearts on and our minds on matter, and we have to choose to set our hearts and our minds on God. And this isn't easy. We are human, and we live in a world that's a little bit messed up. There are so many things around us that can distract our focus from God. It might be okay when we're at church, or when we're at the point, or when we're at youth, or with Christian friends, or things like Letton, but then it sometimes gets a bit harder when we leave those places, and we're at home, or at school, or when we go to work. There are so many different things that compete for our attention. And the world is often telling us that we need more stuff, or we need to look a certain way, or have a certain number of followers on Instagram, or we need to act in a certain way. And if we don't achieve these things, we're not doing very well in life. But that's not true. So I just want you to take a moment to think about, what are the things that your heart and mind are set on? We can have the next slide, please. There's a few things that might be set on. It might be set on having a new pair of shoes. I don't know if these pairs of shoes are cool. I'm not very down with the kids. New Balance were a thing. Dan's shaking his head and Dan's very hip. So I'm going to take that as no. So it might be set on shoes. It might be on having a girlfriend or a boyfriend. It might be getting certain grades in school, playing football, impressing your friends or your parents. And it's not necessarily wrong to want those things, but it's the place we give them in our lives and in our hearts that matters. I don't know if you were here when Ethan preached and he did that illustration with all the numbers. And he had God as number one and all the other things in our lives that we're interested in as all the different numbers. And he showed us that sometimes we put the number one at the end, we put God as last, but actually God needs to be number one. So, for example, one of the things that causes me to slip and take my eyes off God, the thing that I often set my heart and mind on, is I really, really want to be liked by people. And that's a bit of a problem, because often, especially when God is telling me to do something, I can think, oh, but what if this happens? What if people laugh at me? Or what if this goes wrong? Quite often I just think about things going wrong a lot of the time, and that's me not trusting in God and trusting in what he's asked me to do, and trusting that his plan is good for me. And God often has to give me a bit of a talking to about that. And actually the most common thing I hear God say to me is, just trust me. Just trust me. And he hasn't let me down yet, and he never will. But that's the thing that makes me slip the most. And it's in those times that I have to work really, really hard at choosing to set my heart and my mind on what God is saying about me. And that might be through prayer or reading the Bible, or listening to God and asking him, what are you saying about me? And every day I have to make the choice to surrender my heart and all my worries to him. And as I said, he's not failed yet, and he's not going to. So what I'm about to show you next, mate, is going to potentially make me look really, really old. If we can have the next slide. Does anyone know who this is? So I am a big Disney fan, big, big Disney fan. So I couldn't really do a talk without mentioning a bit of Disney. So this is Hannah Montana, and I know some of you weren't even born when this was on, so that makes me really old, but I used to love watching Hannah Montana. And so the premise of Hannah Montana, it was a TV show on the Disney Channel, which was the best thing ever when I was young. And Hannah Montana, there was a girl called Miley, played by Miley Cyrus, who most of us know for different reasons now. And And she, her dream in life was to be a pop star. So what they did, but she decides she wants to be a pop star but still have the benefits of being a normal person. She still wants to go to school and be able to do normal things like go out with her friends without being noticed by the paparazzi and have people harass her. So she creates this double character, this persona called Hannah Montana, so she can be Hannah Montana the pop star and Miley Cyrus, well, Miley Stewart or whatever she was on the show, but she creates this double life so that she can have what she calls the best of both worlds. And as Christians, it can be a bit tempting for us to create a double life. That's where I'm going with this, not just talking about Hannah Montana. So if we want to look, we can lose that picture now in case it becomes a bit of a distraction. Yeah. So... So as Christians, it can be really easy for us to create a double life, to say or do one thing at church or at school or at youth or at Letton, but then to be different when we're at home or in school or when we're posting on social media. And when we do this, we can hide bits of ourselves from God, or try to anyway. So as I mentioned earlier, I was raised in a Christian family, so I've always known who God was and always sort of gone to church. When I was about 14 or 15, I had the choice. I had to work out what that meant for myself, and I went through a bit of a phase of not really being that into church. And my school friends became the most important thing in my life. I mentioned earlier that I struggle with wanting to be liked, and this was really, really prominent sort of in this time. And around the age of 14, 15, that was the time when most of my school friends were starting to get into partying and drinking and things like that. And although I didn't really think that those things were necessarily good for me, I really wanted to fit in with my friends, and I got a bit sucked into that. And I told myself it was okay because I was still going to church on a Sunday, and I was praying a little bit, but outside of that, I wasn't really giving God much time. And what happened is I created two versions of myself. I created a school Holly and a church Holly, and they both acted and talked differently from each other. And I can remember one night, I was at a party with my friends, and all sorts of things had happened to my friends which weren't good at all. A fight had broken out and all sorts of stuff. And I remember going to the bathroom and looking in the mirror, and a really, really, really sharp... I mean, I've been pushing God out, but I really felt him talk to me. And he said to me, "You can't do this anymore. This isn't who you are. You need to choose this life or life with me." And it really was like he sorted me out in that bathroom. And it's not the only time he's spoken to me in a bathroom. But I was really, really challenged about it. And my fear was if I said to my friends, "I'm not going to join in with you," that they weren't going to be my friends anymore, because that was the thing that I was really set on, was having these friendships and being liked by them. But eventually I found the courage to sort of say, "Oh, I'm not going to join in with you anymore." And I did end up losing some of those friends. But that was okay, because God sorted it out. God knew what he was doing. And actually, I got some new friends, some different friends that were a bit more encouraging and sort of the people that were better for me. But yeah, but God really spoke to me about that and about living this double life. And yeah. So being hidden in Christ means giving God your whole self, not just bits of ourselves, not just the bits that we think are suitable for God or good enough for God. It means giving him the whole of us and being open to letting him have the bits that we don't perhaps like as much about ourselves. If we think of that picture, that really rubbish picture I showed you of being absorbed into God and him covering our whole lives, it doesn't work if we just put like our hand in and just let that, "God, just have my hand," or "God, just have my head." It doesn't work. He wants all of us. It's a bit like being hugged by someone. Are you going to come and do this illustration with me, Ethan? I can hug Ethan because he's my brother, so this isn't inappropriate in any way. So saying, it's a bit like being hugged by someone. It's nice, but it's a little bit awkward if you keep your arms to yourself. It's better if you're ready. It's going to be a cute moment. It's better if you join in as well. It's better for everyone. If you participate in the hug and get hugged, don't squeeze too hard, though. And when he sent his son Jesus to die on the cross for us and for our sins so that we would be forgiven, God gave everything for us. And so our lives are so much better when we give everything back to him. And it's a truth that God is always with us, no matter what. But God wants us to invite him into our hearts and our lives, no matter our circumstances. And maybe tonight there is something that feels like a bit of a block between you and God. Maybe there's something that you've been hiding from him, or trying to hide from him. And tonight I feel like God is asking us to give our whole selves for him. And we've already been singing about that. And I feel like that started to happen a little bit tonight already. And it starts by us inviting him into our situations. Because we might think, well, what's the point? God made us. God knows everything about us already. So why do I need to offer these bits? But God wants us, he's given us a choice to say yes to him, and he wants us to invite him into our lives and into our circumstances and into our hearts. He wants to do it with us, and it's the best thing. This doesn't always mean it's really easy, but it is genuinely better when we do things with God. So there's nothing too big that God can't help us with, and there's nothing too small or too insignificant that God doesn't want to be interested in either. I've done this really quickly, and I'm sorry. But we're going to have an opportunity to respond now. So you've noticed there's some stones here and a peg. I'll take the peg out. But there's some stones here, and they're not for heckling or anything like that. But they're for an opportunity to respond. So over here we have a cross, and we've got some stones. And we just want to invite you to think about some couple of questions on the screen. Is there something that you're hiding from God? Is there something that you think God doesn't want or is not good enough for God, and something that you've been really struggling with that you want to hand over to him? Is there something you need to invite him into and ask him to help you with? And if you want to do that, if you want to give him maybe your life or offer him a situation, symbolically, come and take a stone and put it at the foot of the cross over here. Come and lay it at his feet. So we're going to sing a song called This Is My Desire. And the chorus words are, Lord, I give you my heart. I give you my soul. I live for you alone. Every breath that I take, every moment I'm awake, Lord, have your way in me. And if that can be your prayer, let's make it your prayer today. So Ethan's going to play that and the band, and there's going to be a time to respond. So I'm going to pray, and then we'll have a chance to do that. Father God, we thank you that you know us completely. And you love us so much. And thank you that when we choose you, our lives are hidden in you, and we are safe and we are secure in you. And Lord, pray now that your Holy Spirit would come and meet with us, and that you would show us if there's anything that we're holding back from you, and that we would be able to open ourselves up and give those things to you. And Lord, pray that we'd be able to release those things. And Lord, we offer you our whole lives and our whole selves, and ask that your will be done in us and through us. In Jesus' name.